Well, Australians in bushfire-ravaged parts of the country are still reeling from the summer of fire and the devastation those fires brought to their communities, their homes and their businesses. But as they continue to regroup and in some cases rebuild, that effort is being compromised as the nation grapples now with the COVID-19 outbreak. And despite the saying that all efforts would go into the recovery effort, the National Bushfire Recovery Agency told Senate estimates that just 10% of the bushfire fund has so far been paid out. Andrew Colvin is head of the Bushfire Recovery Agency. He's the coordinator of that agency. Andrew, welcome back to Breakfast.
Yeah, good morning, Fran. Thanks. Nice to be on.
Andrew, after the bushfires, all of us were very conscious of the need to support those communities that were devastated by fire. You know, book a weekend away, book a holiday away in these towns. That's all changed now with the coronavirus. Nobody is travelling. It's a double whammy for some of these communities, isn't it?
Well, it's peculiar times that we're in, and there's no doubt that from a bushfire recovery perspective, the COVID-19 challenge is one that we've got to work our way through. But look, while I think that obviously we need to temper our messages about travelling to bushfire-affected regions, I think what we also need to get the message out there is that bushfire-affected communities aren't going to be forgotten. And while we've got some challenges to work through now, and there's some obvious tensions in that, these communities are important, and we want to make sure they realise that they're not forgotten. This morning I'm in Mallacoota, and I'm meeting with the community, and we're giving them that message as well.
And what impact, though, can you see on the ground already from this virus, the threat of the virus, and some of the measures that are already being taken, like some of the bans?
Well, I think
and concern and anxiety too, I imagine.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. There is a concern. There is anxiety. For a lot of these communities, they've been through drought, they've been through fire, they've been through heavy rains and flood, and now they've got coronavirus to deal with. So certainly the mood in these communities is still one of hope. But there's a lot of is optimism, but it's very cautious optimism now. And there's no doubt that the fact that people will rightly heed medical advice and not travel as much as perhaps they had planned to will have an impact on these communities.
The $76 million package that was part of the $2 billion bushfire recovery fund for the tourism industry, can you guarantee for us now, Andrew, that none of that $76 million will be wrapped up in the coronavirus $1 billion tourism fund? Is that separate?
Yeah, it is, Brandon. Thank you for giving me that opportunity, because I've seen some of those reports, and it's quite it's misleading and unhelpful, frankly. That $76 million has been put aside for tourism packages for bushfire-affected regions or to assist bushfire-affected regions. So a lot of that money has already gone into domestic marketing campaigns, into global marketing campaigns. There's a grant program that I was talking to the tourism industry here in Mallacoota about last night, which has been really well received, that will help local communities put on events and start to prepare for what will hopefully be a return of patronage later in the year. It won't be diverted to coronavirus. That's a very separate line of funding.
But again, Andrew, just hearing you then, the coronavirus has affected all of that. I mean, we're not going to be able to have events, certainly not over 500, and very soon I think that number's going to be greatly reduced. And also any marketing campaign saying come and visit is now wasted because nobody can come and visit.
Well, I think that's right, Fran. I mean, it is a challenge for us, and there's certainly going to be a disruption to business and a disruption to tourism as a result of coronavirus. But talking to the community here last night, again, trying to stay positive and look at what we can take advantage of, this is an opportunity for us to rebuild some infrastructure, some tourism infrastructure. So last night we were talking about how do we rebuild the walks to take advantage of the incredible environmental and ecological benefits that a region like Mallacoota has. So that when we can travel again and when there is space for people to get out and support communities, we've got the infrastructure built back into place that will support tourism.
There was a lot of support for bushfire-affected regions and a lot of hope that the rest of the community would be able to get in behind them. The government put in that money. There was grants for small businesses. But earlier this month, you told Senate Estimates the agency had only paid out $205 million so far, and there was a lot of criticism from small businesses that they couldn't get the loans. They were rolling out too slowly. How much has been paid out now, and have you been able to speed up this process?
Yeah, we have. And a few things. I mean, we need to keep in mind that the $2 billion fund was only announced earlier in the year. And that's that. We need to remember that this is a marathon, not a sprint. We need to make sure.
Well, except for some people, it is a sprint because they are without homes, they are without anything, they are out any businesses. They need the money now, really.
No, that's right. And look, over $190 million has been paid out in direct support to families and children. We know that over $60 million has been paid out in primary producer grants. $60 million has been given to local governments to make sure that they can do things to support their community. The money is flowing, but more importantly, we've also been spending a lot of time listening and receiving that feedback. Now, we know that the small business package that was announced a little earlier in the year didn't get the cut through that we were hoping. It didn't reach the pockets of the businesses that were indirectly affected. So last week...
Well, yeah, it's not that it didn't get the reach. People were applying, but they weren't getting the money.
Well, that's right. It didn't get into the pockets of people who were indirectly affected because most of our packages for disaster relief have been about direct impact. So last week we relaunched that small business program, and the feedback has been fantastic that now $10,000 grants will be available to businesses to pay some of those immediate debts to get cash flowing again. And you won't need to be necessarily flame affected the way that many of the communities refer to it. You just need to be to have your income affected as a result of tourist leave zones or as a result of road closures and evacuations. So
that's a really big change, isn't it? That's a really big change. It'll make a lot of businesses eligible that weren't.
And it's a massive change. It's a big shift in policy. It's a shift that is purely a result of the feedback we've received from the communities. We've listened, we've adapted, and we'll continue to do that. I'm not settled because we've made those changes to the small business package. We'll look closely at our primary producer packages. We'll look closely at all the packages and make sure they're achieving what we want.
All right. Andrew Colvin, thank you very much for joining us and good luck with this task. We must not forget all those people who suffered so terribly over January and now this anxiety and the impact of this too coming on top of that. Thank you very much, Andrew.
Thanks, Fran. We don't want to forget. Thank you.
Andrew Colvin is the National Bushfire Recovery Coordinator. Important message there, a change last week in the terms of eligibility for small businesses loans. You don't have to be flame affected, which is what you were now. You just have to be impacted from the bushfires. It's a very significant difference.